Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 177 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode of 10 Minutes With, I check back with Ryan Cooper, who is at BBQ Tourist, who is also the co-founder of The Smoke Sheet with Sean Ludwig. If you've been listening to this show or watching this show for a while, you know that I'm close with Ryan Cooper, and the barbecue community is close with him, and he was diagnosed around Thanksgiving with cancer. Found out that he has colon cancer, and the barbecue community banded together and did a lot to help him at the time and has been helping him since. But I wanted to check back in with him to, number one, find out what it was like to get that revelation, what led up to it, what it is like now, what he's going through now, the future for him and the smoke sheet and everything in between. And he's incredibly honest, open book. Super interesting. He's got a smile on his face for the whole thing, but it's you could definitely tell that he's been through some traumatic stuff, and he has a big road to go down to get through this. I don't want to get too into it because I want you to hear it from Ryan, but it's extremely interesting. I think you'll get a lot out of it. Again, if you're interested in donating to help him out, go to facebook.com/BBQTouristFund. Facebook.com/BBQTouristFund. You can assist him. He'll explain in the interview the financial hurdles that he has. Thank you, Ryan, so much for taking the time to do this. We're thinking about you. Get better each day. And I'm super excited to have Treaty Oak Distilling out of Dripping Springs, Texas as an adult beverage partner for the show. Treaty Oak was founded in 2006 by Daniel Barnes, and it was named after a 500-year-old oak tree in Austin. They moved their operation to the current location in 2016, 4 years ago. It's a 28-acre property in Dripping Springs. It's open to the public for food, beverages, and you have to visit the Live Fire Restaurant, Alice's, that's on site, doing amazing things there. The menu, just take a look. I'll put a link in the show notes below. They have live music at that location, a cocktail lab. As most of you know, I'm a whiskey and bourbon fan, and know that these guys over at Treaty Oak Distilling are making three of the best in the country, not just Texas. And they definitely have the awards to prove it. The three that they're making are Ghost Hill Texas Bourbon, which is limestone filtered, aged 2 years, and bottled on site. The second one is the Red Handed Bourbon, which is curated from Heaven Distillery in Barstown, Kentucky. It's earthy, slightly sweet, and aged 2 years. And then their last one is the Red Handed Rye, which is complex, smooth, and I think it's delicious. It's aged 10 years. Their goal of Treaty Oak is to balance innovation with heritage. You can see all things Treaty Oak Distilling at treatyoak.com, or their social media is at Treaty Oak, or just ask for it at your local bar or liquor store if they don't have it. I'm sure they'll want to order it. Treaty Oak Distilling, remember to drink responsibly. And my second sponsor, incredibly, I have two sponsors for this show. It's AJ Cuts and Cookers out of Saginaw, Texas. I've gotten to know AJ over the last year. I did an interview with him. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's awesome, and he gives us a tour of his facility. It's gorgeous. I'm honored to call him a friend as well. He's a stand-up guy. Super, super passionate about his craft, super passionate about barbecue. If he's not making cookers or spending time with his family, he is out on the road having barbecue. He's been fabricating and welding for over 27 years and founded AJ Custom Cookers 11 years ago. He specializes in custom TIG Healy artwork, stainless, fancy metals, copper, aluminum, brass. He could do pretty much anything. What he really thrives at is unique and custom designs. So as his name, AJ's Custom Cookers, shows, there's a lot of choices out there for cookers, smokers, pits, whatever you want to call it. A lot of great guys making them, a lot of good guys doing really good work. But AJ is really, really special, and give him a call. He'll call you back quickly on his Facebook, on his website. Everything has his phone number, so give him a call or email. And if you're digging these, I would subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast. That way you don't miss out. I'm doing two or three of these per week. If you're just listening to the podcast, I have a YouTube version of this at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. It can be found on all the social media at kevinsbbqjoints. But at the end, I so appreciate you listening, watching. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think in the comments below. If you want to leave a message for Ryan, leave it in the comments. He's going to be checking this out for sure. I know he would greatly appreciate it. Direct message him too. He loves that. It helps him out a lot. Hope you guys enjoy this. Have a great week. Good morning, Ryan. It's good to see you.
Thanks, Kevin. Good to see you.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting, 6 months, 5 months? How long has it been since?
It's not even been that long.
It feels like 2 years.
Yeah, it's only been It's only been a couple months now, so.
Oh my gosh. So how right now, first off, how are you feeling today?
Today I'm feeling surprisingly pretty good, actually. It's kind of interesting how everything kind of comes and goes, and there's a lot of ups and downs with this. It's not like when you get a cold or something and you just gradually start feeling better. It's like one day you might be great, the next day bad, and the next day great again. It's kind of odd, but today's a pretty good day so far.
Well, that's good. At least and you look good, and like I was mentioning off camera, you've got the beard again. How long are you gonna keep that beard, do you think?
I don't know. I'm either gonna shave it all off here pretty soon and start over, or just like really let it go. So haven't decided yet.
I know on YouTube there's a lot of videos on like groom care and how to keep like growing a beard. Like I was at Target the other day, and like the beard section is giant now. It's a thing.
Yeah, I ordered this stuff just in case. It's called like Viking Revolution Beard Oil, in case I keep the beard and really let it grow out. Okay, maybe I'll get a big Viking beard.
Might as well. You could. Yeah. It's a very full beard. So let's. I love seeing your smile, and it's so good to see you. And after like. And a lot of us on this side are worried about you. So what happened, and what were you feeling up? Like, can you explain what led up to this?
Sure. I guess it was like a week or two before Thanksgiving of 2019. I had some abdominal pain, basically. And I just thought, well, it's, you know, no big deal, but it was enough to where I kind of went home from work early, a couple hours early.
Was it pain that was radiating and like you were affecting you mentally or no?
No, not at all. It was like what I would call a mild stomach ache.
Oh, okay. Which everyone has had.
Yeah. I literally thought it was no big deal. And then it just got worse and worse until about 3 a.m. I decided, oh my gosh, this is unbearable. It was actually worse pain than when I had appendicitis.
Oh.
And that's when I knew, like, okay, I need to get to the emergency room.
You were by yourself, right?
I was. My wife was actually in Italy for a conference.
Crazy.
So she had just gone to Italy. She wasn't there. And my son was staying with his grandparents. So I ended up driving myself to the ER at 3 a.m. You know, the doctor said, oh, it's probably just some sort of blockage or something and we'll be fine. But they said, we'll do some sort of scan and just see what's going on. And when they did, they saw that I had actually ruptured my colon. And so that.
You consider yourself like pretty tough? Because that sounds like serious. Like, yeah.
And they later on, the surgeons told me I had actually ruptured it a couple of days earlier.
Oh.
So they were surprised that I like just had gone through life as if nothing had happened and everything. And they were surprised I hadn't gone to the ER earlier.
Wow, but that's amazing.
So they found that I had ruptured the colon, and the reason for that rupture was there was a what they later determined was a cancerous tumor elsewhere in my colon. So where the rupture occurred, or perforation, I guess you would call it, and where the tumor were actually different places, which was somewhat of a good thing, apparently. Like, it could have been like life-threatening had a lot of contents in my body just emptied out into my system.
Yeah.
I mean, it was life threatening no matter what, but it was definitely crazy. And so the crazy thing that happened was they said, well, we typically see this for one of two reasons, either diverticulitis, which is very common in people your age, or cancer, which is very uncommon in people your age. And so I thought, it's diverticulitis, no big deal. I literally thought that. I thought, well, okay, that's not fun, but that's probably what we're dealing with. And then when they came back and said, you know, what it was actually cancer, that was crazy.
Could they tell by your elevated cells, white cell or something, white blood cells or something? Or how would
no,
they?
No, they couldn't tell until they actually got me into surgery and they saw the tissue and everything, I believe. I don't think they could tell by the scan that they did, but basically when they saw there was a perforation and there was a, you know, something causing a blockage, they had to get in there immediately. Yeah, that was crazy. I had to literally, I don't know the time difference, but my wife was, you know, 6 or 7 hours ahead at a conference in Italy, and I'm texting her from, as I'm being wheeled into the ER, into the emergency, into surgery, basically saying, hey, I know you're going to freak out.
That is frightening.
Get all these texts, but I'm going into surgery. So.
Is that when you posted Pray For Me?
I have no idea.
I don't know. You did that, and then all of a sudden, I started to freak out. I think people started to write me and say, what's going on with Ryan? And I'm like, I have no idea that I contacted Sean. I'm like,
It was actually, it was kind of funny because I believe the day that I went into the hospital was a Tuesday, and the smoke sheet comes out on Wednesday. And Sean and I were busy, you know, putting in the last minute changes together. And I remember telling Sean, like, hey, I don't think I'm not feeling good. I don't think I could really do anything else with the newsletter. And I felt terrible because I was like, here, you do it all. But then after I went into the hospital, I didn't feel as bad. I was like, okay, I had a legitimate reason. I wasn't just, it wasn't just a little tummy ache. So.
Yeah, I think Sean understood after he found out. So then when you came out, what was it like when they told you you have cancer? What is that feeling?
I was just thinking about this morning because I knew you'd ask that. It's almost harder to hear it might be cancer than it is to hear it is cancer. Because when you hear it's cancer, like, there's no going back. Yeah. That's just what it is. But when it's like, well, it could be this very common thing or it might be cancer, it's like, well, gosh, like, I need to know. What am I dealing with here? And so it was harder for me to call my wife in Italy and tell her, hey, they say it could be cancer, than when they said, yes, this is what we determined.
That makes sense.
It's crazy just to think about. But that, I mean, nothing on earth could prepare you for hearing that. And especially, you know, me being relatively young, it was almost like I was in disbelief for a while.
And you didn't know quite how far it had spread or anything, right, at that point?
No, I mean, I didn't know a thing. So they, when they came in and said, well, we opened you up and it was, in fact, cancer, you know, I kind of took that as best as you can, really.
Yeah.
And they said, what they said was, it was cancer. We think we got it all. But we got to scan the rest of your body from head to toe and see if, you know, has this cancer spread to other areas and things like that. And so that was kind of the next phase, was determining whether there was more cancer elsewhere in my body. So,
and they have at that point, they have a plan regardless for people. Like, that's just, it's cancer, sadly, is more common than it ever was, or at least it's more on everyone's radar. So at least I'm sure they have a plan for you at that moment. This is how you're going to do it. This is what you're going to deal with.
Yeah. Once they determined that there was no cancer in any other parts of my body, which was a good thing, they figured out it was basically a very large tumor, relatively large, but it was located in one area and kind of stayed there. It had spread to 4 lymph nodes out of 28 or 27 that they looked at. So it had spread more than they would have liked it to, obviously, but it had at least not traveled to other parts of my body. It hadn't gone into the liver or any other crazy lungs or any other place. So,
so it's lucky that you had a ruptured colon.
Yeah, that's the oddest thing about it is...
It's a weird thing to sentence to
it's
say.
It's a very weird blessing, and people keep telling me this. Like, I'm very lucky that they caught it early, and it's you know, because I had this ruptured colon, they caught this. If I had not had that ruptured colon, you know, most people don't get a colonoscopy until they're 50. Well, I'm only 43. So I would have gone much farther down the road before they likely would have determined that I had colon cancer.
And so I was actually discussing with someone yesterday about getting a colonoscopy. So that's something, maybe that's a recommendation that you, it's, people aren't getting them in their early 40s, I don't think, but.
The doctors were saying, you know, they're starting to see colon cancer more frequently in people age 45 and early 40s.
Wow.
So they're hoping to get that change, that recommendation changed to 45, but that still wouldn't have caught this for me.
What has this done? Because I know that I saw photos of you the first couple of days, and I know that you had mentioned to me that, you know, there were things that you're going to have to deal with now that you had this surgery. How physically, how was that road to get back to the hospital? And then, I mean, get back home, but then you went back to the hospital, correct?
Yeah, several times. So what's happened is, you know, there's kind of two phases to it. And the cancer was sort of the long-term thing that, you know, you just can't deal with it right now. It's like, we'll deal with the cancer once you're healed up from surgery, because they basically sliced me open. I don't know how many stitches I have, but they removed about 6 inches of my colon. They installed a colostomy bag. And, you know, there's also just, you know, dealing with the actual surgical procedure whenever they open up your abdomen like that. Obviously, you know, almost all the movements that you do require your stomach, your abs in some way. You don't realize that until you can't really use it very easily. So basically, my first step was healing from that. But what was happening was they weren't, basically, when they procedure, it was working okay slowly, but it didn't look beautiful, which is odd to say, but it didn't necessarily look really great. But so there was this, they were keeping me in the hospital to see if they would have to redo the whole surgery. And so that was like a 2-week period of uncertainty again. It was kind of like, we can't even deal with the cancer until we figure out just this basic, you know, thing.
Yeah.
They ultimately, at one point, you know, I had already gone home, and I have nurses that come visit me frequently. And at one point they were looking at everything and said, this doesn't look right. You need to go back to the ER. So I went back. And basically they determined, well, it doesn't look pretty, but we don't have to redo this. This is working. Everything's fine. And then since then, everything's been pretty good as far as that is concerned.
How do you have issues eating? Is that something?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean.
Like, so, above and beyond the cancer portion, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, that, the cancer is like almost something you just don't even think about as compared to like the daily routine of eating and bowel function and all the stuff that's, you know, not necessarily savory to talk about or anything,
we don't think about it unless you have to think about it.
But I mean, holy, as you know, I'm like a huge barbecue fanatic who loves meat and things like that. And so, you know, now everything about my diet has radically changed. Thankfully, meat is pretty okay for me, but there's a lot of things that I can't really digest. And I guess they said, well, we took out a huge portion of your colon and you have that much less, you know, acid in your body to kind of break things down. And so you just digest things very, very differently. Plus, there are all sorts of things that could potentially negatively impact the colostomy.
Yeah.
So like you can't eat seeds and nuts and things that would like kind of obstruct that.
Oh my gosh.
Colostomy. You can't eat things like even things like beans or things that have like a skin or like an apple, for instance.
A membrane or a.
Right.
Holy things heck! Like that. I never thought about that. It's so fascinating.
So my vegetables and fruits that I can eat are really limited. It's stuff like carrots and potatoes and stuff that's been peeled and usually cooked, but eating raw veggies or, you know, celery or anything like that, that's out. And everything has to be really, really cooked down.
How long will you have to deal with that, or is that a lifelong thing?
It's not a lifelong thing. Well, it depends on who you talk to. As far as those things like not being able to eat raw vegetables and things like that, that's just with the life of this colostomy.
Yeah.
And that's a temporary thing. So once I'm done with my cancer treatment down the road, they will, after, you know, I'm done with everything, they'll put me back together the way I was. And
okay. So then you can resume a normal career of eating what you want to eat.
Yes, in that regard, although people have told me who have, and it's been amazing, the barbecue community especially, it's crazy.
Yeah, I want to get into that too. That's an important component of this interview.
But like the people, I mean, fans of mine or people in the community that you would never know have said, hey, I had colon cancer too, and here was my experience. And just so you know, like I had one guy tell me, for instance, he's like, I can't eat fatty brisket anymore. It's like, I can do lean, but, you know, really, really rich meats and things like that, just your body can't process it if you're missing a, you know, big part of your colon. Hmm. And he just said, you know, that's something to think about. And what I've noticed that's odd is I can't handle cheese, like really oily kind of like mac and cheese. I cannot process that anymore, which is too bad.
Oh.
And really kind of greasy pizza. Just, I can't deal with that.
So interesting.
Last night I cooked some bacon up and it tasted great and everything, but it just kind of went right through me. So it's just stuff like that that you have to kind of deal with.
Wow. That's so fascinating. I guess that's, it's so disgusting and fascinating and wonderful, but it's like, we're all disgusting. We're all human. It's a human condition, but now, that's also something I want to talk about. Is that something that are you happy that you've been so upfront about everything and open about it? Because I think is that a recommendation for someone? Not everyone's comfortable doing that, but it also, because you've talked about it, that's opened a door to people who have liked.
Yeah, definitely. It's been interesting. Although the doctors told me, you know, everybody is going to give you their medical advice no matter what. Everybody has some aunt Tilly or something that had this, and you know, they are the experts, and you should not listen to your doctor because this is what Aunt Tilly did. And so, but you know, I have faith in my medical team and everything like that, but it is very interesting to hear the experiences of people who have gone through kind of colon issues. And especially, you know, uniquely from the barbecue community that say that, you know, these are the kinds of foods we eat. And this is what, you know, I deal with now. So that's, you know, it's really interesting. And then there have been people who, you know, apart from colon issues, have dealt with cancer and chemotherapy and things like that, who have offered a lot of advice too. And that's all because once I kind of got over that initial first month of, you know, first 6 weeks of healing from the surgery and dealing with the colon, then I started kind of, okay, now we're going to address the long-term cancer care and everything.
And what happens with your mindset with your job? Like, what do you think? Like, am I going to be able to work? Am I going to, like, what's happening? Like, it's on hold, obviously, right?
Yeah. So thankfully I have a very supportive workplace. It doesn't really matter one way or another, because I'm just completely unable to work at this point. So, I mean, it wasn't really a question no matter what, but I have a very supportive workplace. And actually my boss was dealing with these very same issues right at the same time with prostate cancer. And so it was, in that regard, I was very lucky to have somebody that was extremely understanding. Mm-hmm. He's just recently completed his cancer treatment.
Wow.
But already our workplace was sort of used to this kind of mindset of, you know, we have certain employees and colleagues that are undergoing this treatment, and we have to be very understanding of what's going on. I work for the National Park Service, and we're really lucky that we're able to kind of share our pool, our leave. And so I had a ton of people who donated their leave to me that I could use as part of a shared leave program. So basically, I'm able to continue to be on extended sick leave through these donations, because it didn't take long for me to
eat it up.
2 weeks in the hospital or whatever, that eats up all your vacation time already and things like that. And then I was lucky to get in this program, and you know, the outreach and the outpouring of support from the National Park Service and the federal government, you know, the people that work in other agencies donating their leave to me has been tremendous as well. So,
because that was, I'm sure, a lot of people, the first thing that came to mind was, how was that going to, what's going to transpire? Like, what's going to happen with that situation?
And I knew for certain, I mean, even after 6 weeks of healing from surgery, that I would probably have at least 6 months of cancer treatment to undergo. And so I figured, well, I'm going to be taking off a significant amount of time for that no matter what. So I really wanted to have, you know, several months worth of leave that I could take, basically. And thankfully, a lot of people have donated, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
That kind of leads into the outpouring of support from this amazing barbecue community, which you and I both knew how amazing it was, but then it's bigger and better than both of us realize.
I mean, I guess I knew, you know, hey, everybody in the barbecue community is super nice and stuff like that, but you don't expect to be laying in a hospital bed and get messages from literally all over the world from people who maybe you've never even met. One of the hugest moments, I mean, it was probably more emotional for me than hearing you have cancer, was getting a message from Robert Jacob Lerma, the photographer, and him saying, hey, how's it going, man? And I'm like, well, I'm laying in a, you know, in a hospital bed. And he's like, hey, I'm going to do something different for my upcoming, you know, backyard barbecue party. We're going to raise some money for you. We're going to donate this towards your immediate medical needs. And it was like,
crazy.
Oh my gosh. You know, like that's so huge. That's like a huge worry that's just immediately a burden lifted from me. And he'll never know like what that meant to me, and you know how fortunate I feel for that generosity and the generosity. I know it was him that like initiated it, but it was the outpouring of all these various people mm-hmm. that made that possible. It wasn't like he just, you know, did it all himself.
And it was a lot of people that weren't even coming to the event, because I know of a lot of people that said, yeah, I just donated some money to the Ryan Cooper fund. And then I heard like, we're going to be doing this, we're going to be doing that. And all of a sudden it just felt like, oh, this is a hug. This is a virtual hug that is happening. And it was, had happened so quickly. And I was, it warmed my heart and made me so happy.
Oh my gosh. It was wonderful. And so kind of like after that happened, I guess I realized like, okay, things are going to be okay. Like, I've got this community of people behind me, and like, of course, the support just kept coming and kept coming. It's been amazing, and it's been unreal to witness the kindness of people that I've never even necessarily met. You know, reaching out.
But that you have touched in some way, which is amazing too.
Maybe unbeknownst to me, like, I guess I didn't realize that I had some impact on people as well. So it's been very overwhelming and heartwarming.
Yeah. And people also too, the little, and to be clear, like, if people still want to send you messages, direct messages, anyway. Those little things help because who knows if you're having a down moment or a down day. There's, like you said, there's peaks and valleys with what you're dealing with now because you're now into your cancer treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one challenging thing about, cancer treatment. It's a long-term thing. It's not, and so, there's an overwhelming amount of support at first, but, after a while, and, the time of year and everything, there's holidays, there's other things that people think about. And not that I expect that everybody's going to be constantly thinking about me and my recovery or everything, but, I love hearing from everybody at any time. And this is going to be a long-term thing where at least the next 6 to 9 months, I'll be working on this and recovering from this and everything. And so, I guess what I'm saying is I'm going to continue to need support from the community, actually.
Oh, and if you're listening to this, if you're not reading the show notes, what are the best ways to get a hold of Ryan?
So, the best ways are at BBQ Tourist on Instagram or
Maybe it'll be there. I don't know. I'll try to be, see if I can technically put it there.
Yeah, so at BBQ
Okay.
Tourist on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, although I don't check that as much. Ryan at bbqtourist.com is the email.
Okay.
And then, of course, also the smoke sheet is another way to get a hold of me
And that,
as well.
and then also too, what's the fund is facebook.com/BBQ Tourist Fund, right? Is that what it is?
Believe so. Something like that.
It'll be in the show notes. It'll also that
The longer name is BBQ Tourist Recovery Fund,
recovery
but
fund, yeah.
the actual direct link is BBQ Tourist Fund, I believe.
And that's just an ongoing thing that people can donate small amounts, big amounts, but it's Robert Jacob Lerma did his initial kind of bounce, and then this is sort of if people want to donate long term to your recovery and to dealing with everything that you have to deal with now.
Yeah, and I'm not that I want to necessarily make a huge pitch for anything like that, but it's overwhelming how expensive things are, obviously. We just got the bill for my first stay in the hospital was something crazy, like $124,000 or something. That's not what we're going to have to pay, obviously, but that's how much it would cost if I didn't have insurance, I think.
Oh, hands down, that would be without you. Yeah, you'd have that.
Yeah,
You'd
and
owe that.
that's what I would owe, and that's just like the first 1 week stay from, the initial ER visit. That's not the subsequent surgeries or other, the time that I went back into the hospital to check to see if I might have surgery or any other treatment at all. It's just that. So, there's tons of expenses that come from that.
Yeah, this isn't free. Everything's not, insurance isn't covering everything. People need to know that. In life,
Absolutely.
that's good for them people to know.
I have great insurance, but gosh, it doesn't cover everything by any means. And in fact, the chemotherapy that I'm doing, just the there's kind of two components to it. One is I go in every 3 weeks and get like an IV infusion of basically these chemo drugs. But I also every day I take 16 chemo pills. That in addition to that, it's kind of like it's two parts of the same treatment. And those chemo pills are, it's like, I want to say it's $300 for just 2 weeks of treatment. Like it's a regular like 300, maybe it's a week actually. It's something. It's a lot of money basically, and a lot of pills to take. So,
Oh my gosh,
and
dude,
that's just
is that a
half the
is
treatment.
that is that 16 at once? It's staggered, right? Or is
Thankfully, it's not 16 at once. It's like one for, one set of eight or so in the morning for breakfast, and one set of eight for dinner.
delicious.
Yeah, it's and you have to eat, you have to take them with food and everything like that. So it's pretty regimented.
How is your family dealing with this?
My, I have my wife's been incredibly supportive. I have a 5-year-old son named Henry who, this is all very new and strange for him, but you know, he's dealing with it as well as he can. And I think he's like, he'll have little questions from time to time, and it just kind of breaks your heart to hear them. Like, can kids get cancer? Do people die from cancer? Things like that.
Those, yeah, that's the age too.
To be honest with them about it. But he, you know, he's dealing with it pretty well. I think it was kind of strange at first to see, like, I have stitches and things like that. And I have this colostomy bag. He thought that was kind of unusual at first, but now he's slowly, you know, kind of soaking it all up. But he's dealing with it as best as possible. And then I've got my parents that live here in Omaha as well, and they've been helping out as much as they can, mostly by taking care of Henry when I don't feel good and things like that.
Does your wife have to travel a lot for business?
She does, yeah. So she was just down in Texas last week.
Did she have barbecue?
She did not. She talked about barbecue with everybody, of course. And, you know, I kept getting texts about what's the best barbecue place,
of course,
and things like that. So she's mostly sharing that information with other people. So she travels a lot, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, so you're by yourself dealing with this a lot. So if I could reiterate, reach out to Ryan, send him a text, send him an email, send him a direct message. It's just to say hi, and we all get kind of wrapped up in our own lives, and we all have, who knows who's dealing with what in their own lives, but it is nice to, you know, share that compassion, because who knows if it would spark, you know, some hope in that day, that maybe it's a day that feels a little less hopeful.
Definitely. And you know, also when getting that, the chemo IV infusion and things like that, you're basically kind of tethered to this IV for hours on end, and so that's a good time. I'm always like on my phone, sending messages, doing little Instagram posts and things like that. That's a good time to connect to the barbecue community, you know, because I'm sort of sitting there forced to. There's nothing else to do, really. So I use that time to my advantage for that.
Are you able to work on the smoke sheet again? Are you back at it at all?
I'm back a little bit. That's another wonderful thing about this community, is that not only did everybody rally behind me, but they rallied behind the smoke sheet and helping Sean out, because I mean, that's a huge workload to suddenly hand off to him. And so basically, I believe we kind of asked, hey, does anybody want to help with the smoke sheet? And we got lots of volunteers. I believe you were one of the first that did a guest column, which was awesome. And so in one sense, it's almost another blessing in that now we've been able to incorporate all these other interesting voices.
Yeah, it's important to have other voices. Yeah,
so it's been really neat. We have, it's almost, I believe we have about 10 or 12 guest authors lined up for future issues, including this week's. We're going to have another guest author. We had a guest author last week, so... incorporating a lot of new voices.
I think that's kind of fantastic.
Yeah, it actually ended up being a great thing. And it was, you know, especially helpful because I did quite a lot. I mean, Sean travels a lot, but I did quite a lot of the traveling for the smoke sheet and a lot of the writing. And so, you know, my travel, I definitely can't travel nearly as much now. So it's really nice to have the community that is able to kind of, like, you know, mm-hmm. travel or write about things.
And be on the ground at that specific place. Yeah, yeah, that's important.
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, probably a couple issues ago, I got back into doing some of the editing, you know, writing some of the other sections, not the main intro. And actually, we did do a New Year's resolutions issue a few issues ago, and yeah. I did write for that, which was nice. So it actually was really, really nice to kind of, because honestly, when you're sort of going back and forth to medical appointments and, you know, getting cancer treatment and stuff like that, your mind's not necessarily really active. So it was really nice to have that opportunity to sort of get my mind thinking again and juices flowing creatively and things.
It's extremely important. What's the time frame in your mind as to when you think you might be able to venture back to Texas or to any of the places that you want to? Is it like fall of next year or end of summer? Or?
I don't know. I was hoping much earlier than that, almost wishful thinking. In fact, I was telling people I really wanted to make it down there next weekend for Tyler Harp's doing a whole hog cook with Hellberg Barbecue. And I was really thinking, I've got this time off. Maybe I'll go down there. And that was just, not realistic. It was mostly me hoping that I could do that.
Yeah.
So, but right now, one of my major goals is to make it down to Kansas City, because that's only a 3-hour drive. Mm-hmm. So I think if I can make it down to Kansas City for an event or something like that, would be a nice little test to see, how this will work. But to be honest, I've only left my house in the last 2 months 4 times for non-medical reasons. And I just went to I think the bank and the post office or something. So
so exciting.
I mean,
but it makes sense. It does make sense. You're dealing with some heavy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I would love to go to Texas, it's really not possible right now, but who knows, maybe in a month or so I'll get a lot more energy or something, or at least know my limits a little bit more.
How long would you be driving? Can you sit in the car for a long time? Is that something you could do?
It's not very easy. That's why I'm thinking Kansas City would be a good little test.
Yeah, test and see how it is. Yeah, hopefully it would turn out.
Okay. It's not easy for many reasons, but one reason is to do the cancer treatment. I had a couple of different surgeries to install this little port.
Is it right there? It's right there in your chest? Oh, okay.
Right here in my chest. I had one surgery that put it in, and then it ended up not working, and they had to replace it. I had to have a second surgery to replace it so that it worked. Those were a couple other hospital visits. But anyway, the reason why I bring that up is your seatbelt kind of goes across there, and that can be painful. They actually make these pillows that kind of go around the seatbelt and cushion it and everything, which is helpful, but it's not really very comfortable to sit in the car for a long time.
That's so interesting. That's crazy. And so you won't have that pump removed until after chemo's done.
Yeah, that's not going to be, it'll be 6 to 9 months down the road for that.
Wow, I appreciate you being so forthcoming and so open about all this, because I think it's important for people not only to know for you so they understand what you're going through, but if they happen to have this happen to them or a relative, or just to know what your mindset is. Is there anything to wrap this up? Is there anything else that we missed or that you'd want people to know that are listening, or messages to people? I don't know. Anything you want to say, because this is your platform.
Well, basically, I just, want to thank everybody for all the support. It's been an interesting journey. It's not how I expected 2020 to kind of go. I had big hopes for 2020 as far as barbecue and travel and things like that. And those plans, I'm not abandoning everything, but they've definitely changed. So we'll see kind of what we're able to do. But, we still plan on doing some great stuff with the smoke sheets. We're going to continue to grow that, and I really hope to get back out on the road by midsummer this year. In fact, I'm sort of, Robert Lerma's got me kind of thinking maybe I can get down to his summer party, and that'll be the big.
Yeah, I saw him post something about that, a while back about that. You're going to be able to make it to that. And that would be, how fantastic would that be?
Yeah, that's my goal. That's what I'm shooting for, is to be able to kind of go there and celebrate with everybody, celebrate with a lot of people that have been so generous with me, including Robert. And so that's the goal, is hopefully I'll have finished my my chemo treatment by then. Not sure where I'll be in terms of surgery to put me back together, but I should be kind of ready to travel by that time. And so the last half of 2020 is hopefully I'll do it big. So
yeah, journaling this would be great because this would be a nice thing to share either in a book form or some kind of form, I think. And you're kind of journaling, I guess, as we're doing all these too.
Yeah, journaling a little bit, and you know, I try to do an update every once in a while on Facebook and Instagram, things like that, different ways to kind of share with people kind of what's going on. And
well, that's also why I wanted to do this, because I wanted to give people the opportunity to get an update, and 2-3 months down the line, we should do this again, just so people can kind of know where you are and what you're doing, because you mean so much to so many people and to us. So it's I'm glad to see you here, because there were moments where I was extremely worried for you.
Yeah, there were moments I was worried as well. I mean, yeah, it's hard. I'll be honest, like, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. It's not fun by any means, and it's definitely given me a lot to kind of think about. And there's like I said, there's been a lot of blessings that came out of this, like realizations about how wonderful people are and things like that. But it's definitely not without its challenges. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a rough thing to kind of face. So
Well, we're with you, Ryan. We are, and we care about you, and just continue at it. And I thank you so much for everything you've done in the past, and for this, and for taking the time for this.
Awesome. Well, thank you. This has been awesome, and it's been really awesome to you know, I should have mentioned that watching those videos that you made, where you compiled all of the well wishes from various pitmasters and people from the community. Gosh, I've gone back, like you said, back and rewatched them, and my family watched them, and you know, my son really was kind of like, "Are all these people are talking to you, Daddy?" You know, seeing this on the TV, and then of course my parents, who they had no idea, like, seeing some of the people that were on there. I mean, they were practically in tears the whole time watching those videos and things like that.
That makes me happy. There'll be a part three. There'll definitely be a part three. I've gotten a few in. I want to compile and make it around the same length. But I was, to be honest too, I was surprised by the amount of people that were like, yeah, I'll do it. And then getting it to me. And then when I saw these people, and they're, you know, these are people that are, a lot of them are icons in our industry, and
yeah, I couldn't believe
they're
it.
All amazing people, but I was just like, I was shocked.
All of them, but
And the heartfeltness, and the people that really, you know, took the time to, some people were really quick, and that was like, that's their style, that's who they are. It'll be a nice thing, I think, too, for us to have 10 years from now.
Well, and it was cool that everybody kind of put their own little spin on things, and like, some people were funny, and some people were very heartfelt and serious, and, you know, like, I appreciated Connor's dad joke, and I really loved Truth Barbecue kind of going through the entire restaurant and everybody kind of.
We have just the awesome industry. It's like the best industry ever. When I get them, it was so fun. It was like a little gift for myself too, because like, selfishly, I wanted to see what they had done for you.
And it was interesting. I heard from people who said, "Hey, I didn't get a chance to, you know, to send something to Kevin." Like Amy Mills from 17th Street said she was sick or something like that and wasn't able to. Zach Parker was another one. He was like, "Hey, I'm going to send you my own message directly because I didn't get to do it with Kevin and everything." And so, you know, that's been wonderful. And then all sorts of, you know, people have done stuff behind the scenes that they, you know, haven't made a big, you know, public display necessarily, but I've received cards in the mail with huge donations from restaurants and various places that, you know,
that's neat.
It's just crazy. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I got a card from Tin Kitchen down in Kansas City where everybody signed the card, and then a huge donation from them.
That is so neat.
Wasn't expecting that at all, but
Well, and then Tyler Hart put together He's a
Yeah,
what a
Tyler Harp.
great human
At
too.
first, I thought maybe Tyler's just sending me his, like, all the hats he doesn't really want anymore, because he said he has 500 hats or something like that. And then when I kept pulling these awesome hats and all this other stuff out of the box, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is unreal, like what people have done.
Yeah, it's a cool, there's a cool group of people, and that's that. It just makes me really, really happy, and anything we can do to help you, it's worthwhile. We're all there as a team, and who knows if any of us will be in a similar circumstance 5 years from now, 3 years from now. God willing, no, but who knows.
Not that I would ever want that, but I can't wait till I'm able to kind of give back in some way to the community. I kind of jokingly say, like, I'm going to go on this big thank you tour of barbecue, especially down in Texas, just to say thanks to everybody for all the support and everything. But I'm serious about that. Like, I really want to be able to do what I can to give back. Because I almost look at, like, for instance, all the generosity. I look at it as almost an investment in the community. Like, it's not just like, hey, we like Ryan, here's a bunch of money or here's a bunch of support, but like, here's a guy that is doing what he can to support the community, and we're going to invest in him and in that, in investing in the community. So
And it also shows that this community is a giving community, like Operation Barbecue Relief or anything like that. It just seems like at the drop of a dime, like it's.
yeah, I mean, it's always been like that. And I kind of think like barbecue is uniquely situated to be like that, because it's a very communal kind of thing anyway. Yeah, it's really wonderful, and I think maybe that's what draws such amazing people.
Yeah, and draws them into wanting to even be part of it. There's a synergy, there's something there.
All right, take care,
All right,
Kevin.
take
Thank
care.
you.
Bye bye.